out this morning. As I promised last time, from last week, I was going to show you how to diminish the doubts in your life. And that's what we're going to do this morning. And we're going to do that by unlocking the power of prayer. You know, many people never experience the richness and joy of life that relies on God. You know, many play games with God. They try to bargain with Him. Here was a man that was frantically searching for a parking space. He was unemployed, and he was going for a job interview that might put him back to work. In desperation, he prayed, "God, if you will open up a parking spot, I'll go to church every Sunday. I'll give up my sins and give to the poor." And all of a sudden, "Oh, never mind, God. A spot just opened up." You know, for many, their relationship with God is just like that. They only pray when they need something and never acknowledge God's power in their life. Others haven't learned how the faithful prayed in the scripture record. They don't understand what prayer can accomplish in their life. It's kind of like two men who were talking together. The first challenged the other, "If you're so religious, let me hear you quote the Lord's Prayer. I bet you $10 you can't." The second responded, "Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." Well, the first pulled out his wallet and fished out a $10 bill, muttering, "I didn't think he could do it." It's no wonder many have doubt and experience fear in their life. They just don't understand the prayer and kind of the mechanics of prayer when you think about it. You know, unless we have a relationship with God, both through the good times and the bad times, and unless we listen to God through His Word and speak to Him in prayer, our lives will not be as confident as it can be. Jesus taught His disciples how to pray, and that prayer follows a pattern that's kind of set forth in Psalms. I can see some of the same things there. Now, the Psalms, of course, are prayers. The Jewish people sang them, these prayers, in their ceremonies many, many years before Jesus was ever born. There are 150 psalms. Jesus prayed the psalms often. Many psalms are mentioned in the New Testament. Jesus talked a lot about being the good shepherd. Of course, we know that Psalm 23 starts with, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." When Jesus was dying on the cross, He said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That is the first line to Psalm 22. Since all the Jewish people knew the psalms, Jesus used them to teach. So in order to understand what Jesus said in the Gospel, it's important to know a little bit about the Psalms. The Psalms talk about all kinds of things. There are happy Psalms, sad ones, angry ones, pleading ones. They show how the people felt about the things that were happening to them at that time. In a broadcast address in London, T.S. Eliot talked about spiritual awareness. He observed that many persons aspire to be Christian, to become Christians, and believe presumably in the efficacy of the Christian faith, but never reach the stage of actually experiencing it, aspiring towards real belief. In other words, becoming truly Christian is one thing, whereas complete awareness of it is another. Aspiring can easily become an end to itself. As Charles H. Duffy of Edinburgh remarked, "It's a matter of living forever in the preface and never becoming involved in the story. If you never get past the cover of a book, you'll never know the whole story. And when trials come your way, you'll never know how God helps the faithful through their problems. This is when doubt enters our heart, because we never learn that bad things can happen to good people. We stand on the precipice and stare into the darkness of uncertainty in our lives. In the absence of knowledge, the imagination runs wild. We don't know how our future will play out, and sometimes imagine menacing shadows in the darkness of tomorrow. In other words, we think of the worst when we are unsure what tomorrow brings us. Nothing inspires the imagination like not knowing what the truth is sometimes." Though Woody Allen once said, "It's not that I'm afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens." The first thing we need to do to diminish the doubts in our life is to acknowledge God's power. And I want you to look this morning at Psalm 19. And we're going to look at it in its entirety, because it sets the stage of how we should think and how we should pray. In verse 1 of Psalm 19, The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hand. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes into all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. In the heavens He has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom come forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eye. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are much sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his error? Forgive my hidden fault. Keep your servant also from willing sin. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, my rock of my Redeemer. You can't pray and feel confident if you don't fill your mind with the awesome power of God. If you listen to Psalm 19, he starts off here. Look at the magnificence of God out there. You can see it in the skies. You can see it in the heaven. You can see it in the trees. You can see it in the sun that goes round and round. You can see it everywhere. If you'll just get a fixation and an idea in your mind of just how great God is, how perfect He is, and all He can do, then feeling confident when you pray to God becomes just a little bit more easier. Praising God not only worships Him, it reminds us that He's all-powerful, capable of dealing with our problems. If He created the universe out of nothing, then our problems are not too big for Him to overcome and make them nothing. If you'll meditate and pray on God's power before you seek relief for your needs, you can have the confidence that He is capable and willing to help because He loves you and me. And secondly, you need to pray your needs with confidence. Now that you've fixed your mind on how powerful God is, then you need to have confidence in that. Now if you'll turn to Psalm 121, we'll see this in action. In Psalm 121, verse 1, I lift up my eyes to the hill. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. When you feel confident in God's ability, then you can be as confident as Psalm 121, in His ability to deal with your problems. If God is that great, that magnificent, that all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, who lives forever and ever in the past, and who lives forever and ever in the future, who's going to take each and every one of us, if we follow Him and allow us to live with Him forever and ever, when we go up there, then we can feel confident that God can help us through the things that we need. They almost seem insignificant when you think about all the whole of the universe. You know, sometimes the Lord calms the storm, but sometimes He lets the storm rage and calms His child. God's not going to eliminate every problem from our life. We're going to have to live through a great many of them. But in living through them, we learn to rely on Him. We learn to trust Him, and we become a little bit stronger when they're over. You know, little five-year-old Johnny was in the kitchen when his mother was making supper. She asked him to go to the pantry and get her a can of tomato soup. But he didn't want to go alone. It's dark in there, and I'm scared. She said, she asked him, and he persisted. Finally, she said, it's okay. Jesus will be in there with you. So little Johnny walked. He looked at that imposing door to the cellar where the pantry was. He hesitated. He slowly opened up that creaky door and stared into the darkness. He started to leave when all at once an idea popped in his head. And he said, Jesus, if you're in there, would you hand me that can of tomato soup? We can never be strong spiritually if our spiritual muscles are never exercised. In our darkest hour, seek God and He will comfort you. We go through these things for several reasons. It strengthens us. It makes us stronger and more faithful. It helps those who haven't gone through these things to see that someone can go through these things and remain faithful, and that there's someone there to encourage them on the other side. It just helps us to be stronger. In Psalm 42, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God, when I can go and meet with God. My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festival throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep, in the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept me over. By day the Lord directs His love, at night His song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Listen to the words of that song. He says, my soul pants for God. It calls out like a deer pants for water after it's run away from its enemies, those who sought to make it into a meal. And to get down there and pant and desire that so much. The psalmist here is telling us he desires God. He desires God because God is the only way to get him out of the situation he's in. His soul is downcast, but all he can see is, why am I downcast when I have such a God as this? It's because he first considered, before he prayed, he first considered how great and awesome God is, how much he can do, and then he looked to God to solve his problems. When we pray, many people just start asking for things without doing like Jesus did in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, where is God? God is in heaven. He is on His throne. He is in control. Hallowed be Thy name. Jesus shows that reverence for God that we should have. How great is God's name? How great is He up in heaven? Next, we have to align our desires with Him. Because what does Jesus have to say after that? Thy will be done. In Psalm 72, verse 12, for He will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. There is a world of poor, oppressed people. As bad as we think we have it here, there's a lot worse things happening out there in the world. There's a world of lost people out there. Pray for our ability to reach them. Help those who labor in those missions and pray for their hearts to be open that they might receive the gospel and accept Jesus into their lives. You know, in John 3:16, if we desire to think like God, then align your thoughts and desires with His. God does not want anybody to perish on this earth, but for all to have salvation. And that's what we're here to do. Many times people pray for what they want, not just what they need. But those are the things that God wants us to do. Now, Roger was a soldier who got out of the service and was hitchhiking his way home. And he would never forget that May 7th when he was trying to get home. to Illinois. His heavy suitcase made him tired, and he was just anxious to take off that Army uniform once and for all. Flashing the hitchhiking sign to an oncoming car, he lost hope when he saw a black, sleek new Cadillac pull up. To his surprise, the car stopped. The passenger door opened, he ran towards the car, tossed his suitcase in the back, and thanked the well-dressed man as he slid into the front seat next to him. "Going home for keeps?" "Sure am," Roger responded. "Chicago? I have business there. My name is Hanover." After talking about many things, Roger, a Christian, he felt a compulsion to witness to this apparently successful businessman about Christ. But he kept putting it off till he realized he was just 30 minutes away from home. So in his mind, it was now or never. He would have to say something if he was. So Roger cleared his throat. Said, "Mr. Hanover, I'd like to talk to you about something very important." Then he proceeded to explain the way of salvation, ultimately asking Mr. Hanover if he would like to become a Christian. To Roger's astonishment, the Cadillac pulled over to the side of the road. Roger thought he was going to get tossed out on his ear, and he had to walk the rest of the way home. But the businessman wanted to become a Christian at that spot. So when he drove Roger to his home, Roger got the minister of his local church there to do the baptism. And the businessman said, "This is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me in life." Now 5 years went by. Roger, of course, married and had a 2-year-old son and a business of his own by that time. Packing his suitcase for a business trip to Chicago, he found the small white business card that Hanover had handed to him when he took the ride 5 years before. In Chicago, he looked up Hanover Enterprises. A receptionist told him that it was impossible to see Mr. Hanover, but he could see Mrs. Hanover. A little confused as to what was going on, he was ushered into a lovely office and found himself facing a woman in her 50s. She extended her hand. "You knew my husband?" Roger told her how her husband had given him a ride when he was coming back from the war those years back. "Can you tell me when that was?" "Well, it was May 7th, 5 years ago, the day I was discharged from the Army." "Anything special about that day?" Roger hesitated. Should he mention giving his witness, to the man and his acceptance? Since he had come so far, he might as well take the plunge. "Mrs. Hanover, I explained the gospel." He pulled over to the side of the road and wept against the steering wheel. And he accepted Christ on that day. She began sobbing. Getting a grip on herself, she said, "I had prayed for my husband's salvation for years. I believed God would save him." And Ann Rogers said, "Where's your husband?" "He's passed on," she said to him. She wept, struggling with words. "He was in a car crash that very night after he dropped you off. He never got home, you see. I thought God had not kept his promise." Sobbing uncontrollably, she added, "I stopped living for God 5 years ago because I thought he had not kept his word." Don't ever give up on God's word. He never gave up on us. We learned this morning in the book of Matthew how Jesus prayed and how he anguished over having to die on that cross. But he never turned his back on you and me. He never gave up, and he went to that cross for our sake. Don't ever give up, no matter how bad it gets. God is going to get you through whatever situation you're going through. He's going to get you through that, and he's going to give you a home in heaven someday. Because we all know that life here has to end. And whatever it may be, we can take solace, we can take comfort in knowing that, first of all, our God is all-powerful. He is strong. Every time you pray, I would ask you, and it helps me out so much to meditate on that first, is to think just how great God is, to consider his creation and all that he's done, all the wisdom of his word and the sacrifice of his son, how he worked that out all out. When I look at that, I look at my problems, and they seem to diminish because they're just one person's problems. They aren't my problem, they are your problem. But it pales in comparison to the power that God has for us. What he can do in our lives. What he can save us from. Then, go to him for our needs. And don't ask God for the world and a new car, a new house, and better things and a cozier life. Those things are all nice, but God said He would meet our needs. If we're too rich, then we don't need God. Not to say that every rich person, I know several rich people who are devout Christians, have given so much of their wealth to Christ. And they know that can all go away in a second. But so many people get comfort from money and complacency, and they forsake God and kind of drift away from God. It's just like doubt that we learned about last time. Doubt keeps us leaning on God. If we have no doubt, we have no concerns, we don't care about anything, that drifts us away from God also. So if we'll meditate on God, focus on His power, think of His strength, then we can pray with confidence that whatever happens, God is going to get me through this some kind of way. And like the saying goes, He may not remove it, but He'll calm us during the storm. He'll get us that far. Then pray for our needs. And don't forget to align yourself with God. Because when you align yourself with God, you'll seem a little less significant to yourself. Your problems seem a little bit smaller to the starving brothers and sisters we have in Africa who live with the daily threat of malaria and disease and death, where infant mortality is so high, where there's so much sorrow in their life, but they run around with smiles on their face, happy that they have salvation in their lives, because that's the most important thing. If you have salvation, then you can get through your life. If you have strength in God, you can get through your problems. And if you'll trust Him, have faith in Him, all these things will work out. So, to me, that's unlocking the power of prayer and unlocking the power in Psalms. Is read these Psalms. They're comforting. They'll teach you just how to pray to God. They'll teach you how to have confidence in Him. And they'll get you through to the end. Because God wants us to succeed. He wants us to be successful. And I'm not talking about monetarily or anything like that. But spiritually in our lives. To have strength. I don't know what your needs may be this morning. Maybe your life is a mess now, a turmoil, and you need the help of the church, or you may be having problems, or you may want to commit yourself to Christ this morning. Maybe you're backslidden. I don't know what your needs may be, but won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?